The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. Peter turned and saw the disciple Jesus loved following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and asked, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" "If I want him to remain until I come," Jesus answered, "what is that to you? You follow me." And so it was said among the brothers that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say that he would not die, but, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying about these things and who wrote these things. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus also did many other things. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the world itself would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. December 27th is the day that has been set aside to commemorate St. John, the apostle and evangelist. Setting aside a day to commemorate a saint can sound rather Roman Catholic, and therefore not quite kosher for us Protestants. However, I will not be recommending St. John to you as someone who can give you grace, nor will I be encouraging you to pray to him, so that he can pray for you. The reason why I won't be doing these things is because God has never commanded us to do this, nor has he promised to bless us if we did. Instead, we will make use of this day to consider God's working in this man, John, and through this man for others. Knowing more about St. John helps us understand the Bible better, and we can apply the things we learn also to ourselves and to our own circumstances. For God still exists. He still works in the lives of his saints among us, just like he did in the lives of the saints that are recorded for us in the Bible. Well, let's begin today by understanding who John is. Sometimes people get a little confused about John because there are two important men named John in the New Testament. There's John the Baptist and John the Apostle. During the season of Advent that just ended with Christmas, we heard quite a bit about John the Baptist. He was the forerunner to the Christ, the preacher and baptizer of repentance who was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets Isaiah and Malachi. The Apostle John, on the other hand, is one of the 12 whom Jesus called to be in a special relationship that was especially close, as Jesus taught them. There's actually quite a lot that we know about the Apostle John. Before Jesus called him to be one of the 12, he was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. He worked together with three others who also became apostles. He worked with his brother, James, as well as with Peter and Peter's brother, Andrew. According to church tradition, John was Jesus' cousin. Jesus' mother, Mary, was his aunt. Also, according to church tradition, John was the youngest of the 12. It appears that John was a very zealous man. One time he came across somebody who was casting out demons using Jesus' name, but was not formally part of their group, and so John told him to stop. But Jesus told John, "Whoever is not against us is for us." On another occasion, he asked Jesus whether he should call down fire from heaven against a village in Samaria that had not warmly welcomed Jesus. We're told a nickname for John and his brother James. They're called Sons of Thunder. That leads me to believe that John was fiery and bold. This is a little surprising when you consider the books that he wrote that are included in the New Testament. John has a style that is all his own. It's free and almost whimsical. It's quite simple. Every New Testament Greek scholar who's first learning the language cuts their teeth on John's gospel. His Greek is the simplest and easiest to master. In his epistle, 1 John, he's always encouraging love. Beloved, let us love one another, he says many times. So it can be hard to picture him as fiery and bold. On the other hand, John is by no means shied away from recording in his gospel the intense and acrimonious exchanges that took place between Jesus and the Jewish officials who hated Jesus. This is one of the unique contributions of John's gospel. The other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, do not describe the exchanges with nearly the same depth. Although John writes with a very gentle style, he's obviously not some hand-wringing clergy person who just wants everyone to like him. He wasn't afraid of a fight. Among the 12 apostles, John was special. Although all 12 were equal and all 12 were loved by the Lord Jesus, there appears to have been a circle within the circle of 12. Peter, James, and John are mentioned several times as being in places where the rest of the 12 were not. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. They were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were closer to Jesus than the others on the night when Jesus was betrayed as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. John also seems to have stuck it out to the end of Jesus' life when the other disciples fled for safety. When Jesus was arrested and brought to the chief priest's house in the middle of the night for their kangaroo court, Peter and John followed at a distance. John went into the courtyard and Peter stayed outside. That was when Peter denied Jesus three times that he knew him, and after that presumably took to the hills like the rest of Jesus' disciples. John, though, did not. It appears that he was the only one of the 12 who was at the cross. While Jesus hung dying, he indicated John and said to his mother, "Behold, woman, your son." And to John he said, "Behold, your mother." On Easter morning, John was the first of the 12 to make it to the empty tomb because he outran Peter. Perhaps this was because he was younger. Also on Easter, in that evening, John was in the upper room with the disciples where they were gathered together. Jesus appeared to them, though the doors were locked, and said, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, so also I am sending you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whosoever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." The gospel reading that was chosen for today are the very last words of John's gospel. The whole last chapter of John's gospel is a little mysterious. It's almost like an appendix to the book. There is a fine summary statement at the end of John chapter 20, and then chapter 21 speaks about something that happened after Easter, but before Jesus ascended. Peter, James, John, Thomas, Nathanael, and two others were back in Galilee, and Peter said, "I'm going fishing," which, if you remember, was his old profession before being called to be an apostle, and the others all agreed to go with him. While they were in the boat, Jesus appeared on the shore, but they did not recognize him. He yelled out to them, "Don't you have any fish?" And they said, "No." So Jesus said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." When they did, the nets became so full that they couldn't haul all the fish in. This is very reminiscent of the way that Peter was originally called to be an apostle years before. Jesus had said to him then, "You will not be a fisher of fish, but a fisher of men." So John and Peter and the rest, when this happened, when they cast the net on the other side and all the fish came in, knew that it was Jesus. And Peter didn't wait for the boat to reach to shore. Instead, he jumped into the water and swam to shore. There Jesus had prepared a breakfast with fish cooked over a charcoal fire and some bread. And after they had eaten, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Then Jesus said something that is important for better understanding our gospel reading today. Jesus said to Peter, "Amen, amen, I tell you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will tie you and carry you where you do not want to go." With these words, Jesus was indicating to Peter the death by which he would glorify God. At the end of Peter's life, he would be imprisoned and eventually crucified. According to church tradition, he requested to be crucified upside down because he did not believe that he was worthy to be crucified in the same way that Jesus was. After Jesus had said this, he said to Peter, "Follow me." This is where our reading started today. Peter looked over and saw John, and he asked Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" It's as though he was asking, "Is he also going to be dressed by someone else and carried someplace that he does not want to go? Is he also going to die a violent death?" And Jesus responded, "If I want him to remain until I come, then what is that to you? You follow me." Then in our reading, John explains how some people were interpreting these words from Jesus concerning himself. They thought that these words meant that John would not die before Jesus returned to judge the living and the dead. And John wants it understood that these words do not necessarily mean that. Jesus is basically saying to Peter, "What happens to John is none of your business. The important thing is that you follow me." Here's an indication that John's gospel was the last gospel that was written when John was an old man. Unlike so many of the other disciples, John had not yet died a violent death when he was writing this gospel. And since he was getting so much older, perhaps people were starting to wonder whether he would die at all. After all, there was that word that Jesus had spoken to Peter. And John wanted people to know that that wasn't necessarily the case. There are also other things about John's gospel that support this idea that it was the last of the four to be written. John doesn't spend much time talking about what the other gospels talk about. Instead, he records at length things that the others don't, especially many long dialogues that Jesus had with his opponents and with his disciples. It's almost as if John wrote his gospel to fill in some of the gaps that were left by the other three. But this can only be done up to a point, because as he says in our reading, Jesus also did many other things. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the world itself would not have room for the books that would be written. Now let's finish up by speaking about things we know about John later in his life. Soon after Pentecost, John, together with Peter, were arrested by the Jewish authorities, the first of Jesus' disciples to have this happen to them. The Jewish authorities demanded that they stop speaking about Jesus, and John and Peter refused, telling them that they would rather obey God than men. Soon they and the rest of the apostles were arrested and beaten, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. It appears that John stayed in the area of Jerusalem and Judea for many years after Pentecost during the early years of the Christian church. Church tradition says that eventually he moved together with Mary, Jesus' mother, to the town of Ephesus, which is in the modern-day country of Turkey. There were a lot of Christians in that area at that time. He lived and taught there until he was an old man. No doubt John encountered many troubles, even though his life was spared, for as Paul says, it is only through many afflictions that we may enter the kingdom of God. Among those afflictions, he was once exiled to the island of Patmos off the coast of Turkey, where he received the vision that is known as the Apocalypse or Revelation, the last book of the Bible from which our first reading was taken today. Finally, let's apply these things to ourselves. As you can see, the apostle and evangelist John lived a life in close communion with Jesus both before and after Jesus ascended. The circumstances of your life are different. You've not experienced the same outward things that John did, but you do share the same Lord, the same communion, and hopefully to the same extent that John did. There are no part-time Christians. Those who only want to be Christians when it's convenient for them will find that they were only deluding themselves with their own invention of a kind of Christianity instead of the real thing. If God wants you to live out your days so that you are old, then well and good. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope you have as a Christian. If there's a challenge that comes along, be sure to follow Jesus, that you confess him and do not deny him. If you are punished with the loss of a friend or family member or your reputation, then so be it. Rejoice that you are counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Or if your life or your livelihood is cut short, then so be it. Jesus is your shepherd. You might think that other things give you your peace and security, but you'd be mistaken. We must all count the cost and be willing to suffer the loss of all, including death, rather than fall away from Jesus. Anything we lose for Jesus or for the gospel will be paid back 100-fold, and at the end, eternal life. St. John is not someone that we should pray to, but he is someone we should learn from for how to live as faithful Christians. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.